Can everyone hear me?
Let's try again.
Hello? All right, guys. So now is it's 1 o'clock. So we're going to get started on our afternoon portion of our missions festival. I'm going to invite Pastor Jeff Swanson back up now, and he's going to present to us about the work in Alaska and in general across home and world missions. So I'll invite you guys now to welcome up Pastor Jeff Swanson.
Applause is needed for sure. I didn't put my microphone on. Do we have any pianists here? 303. In Alaska, we'd always sing a cappella. We would fly out to villages, and we never had music, so we got used to singing a cappella.
I know most of
them. Which means without accompaniment. You all know that. But I used to say that in a village. I'd say, we're just going to sing a cappella, and they'd all just stare at me like, what number is that? What number is that in a hymnal or whatever? But can we just sing it that way? Before I begin, let me just say I kind of neglected to do this morning, but thank you. Your congregation, Ken and Warren, were up and helped us a great deal with the ministry in Alaska. And your church has sent quilts up, and I know that you're a giving congregation supporting missions. So as you send money to the AFLC or to World Missions, Home Missions, that finds its way to Alaska. So thank you for your support of mission work. Thank you for the support specifically of the ministry in Alaska, and you'll hear about that ministry here this afternoon. So thank you. Thank you for your partnership in the gospel. And let's sing a song as we begin together. 303. 303 is O Zion, haste, thy mission high fulfilling. Then we'll pray. O Zion. Father, we thank you for the good tidings, the good news that you've given to us in Christ, the gospel, the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. So we thank you for your love for us, your heart for us, and for the whole world. Thank you that we can share together a little bit about your call to reach the world, and how that's being done in Alaska, but also in other parts of the world as well. We pray you bless these moments together, and may your name be honored and glorified here in our midst, and may you work in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. I mentioned this morning about, I'm going to get behind some place where I can have my Bible on a stand. I mentioned those passages in the four Gospels and also in Acts that reveal to us God's heart for the world. And I'd like to look at those together. I'm not going to preach on them, just share them with you. But just to be reminded of God's heart for the world. These are some of the very final words of Jesus before his ascension in each of the Gospels and then in Acts. So first of all, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Jesus came up and spoke to them saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Those are the final three verses in Matthew's Gospel. And just one little comment on each one. Verse 19 says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations." What we're being reminded of this afternoon is just God's heart for all of the world. God's heart for the world, and that we would have that heart as well. Really instructive for us there is in verse 19 where it says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." That's a participle. I'm not a scholar at all. Far, far, far from it. But I do know that that means that it really could be translated, "as you are going." As you are going, make disciples. Sometimes we kind of make the mistake of saying, well, you have to go someplace. Years ago when I was in Montana, we took a busload of people down into Mexico to build a church about a couple hundred miles south of the border. And it really irked me as a pastor because we had this bus full of folks and we were going to Brazil. And as soon as we got through customs and got onto the other side of the border into Mexico, and this was in 1987 or 1988, so a long, long time ago. But when we got across the border, a bunch of people got off the bus and started handing out tracts. They never, ever would have done that in Kalispell, Montana, where we were living. And I just kind of, it kind of bugged me. It was kind of like, once we get to Mexico, we're going to be witnesses. But we're not going to worry about that back in Montana, you know. And we're called to be witnesses all the time, everywhere, by our life and by our words as well. As you are going, make disciples of all the nations. So as you're going about your daily business, God's heart for the world extends to Alaska, and it extends to Brazil, and it extends to Africa, Uganda, and places like that, and India, where we have mission works. But God's heart is also for right here in Milford and Watsika and whatever other towns are around here and those that live in the country as well. So as you are going, it's not just go make disciples, go to Mexico and then make disciples. No, as you're going about your daily business right here and now, be praying for disciples to be made. Well, that's the end of Matthew. Look also at the end of Mark, Mark chapter 16. Some of the final words of Jesus in Mark chapter 16. Verse 15, "And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Turn over to Luke, Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, verse 46. Well, I'll start with verse 45. "Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, thus it is written, that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." There it is at the end of Luke. Repentance for forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And then in John chapter 21, after the resurrection of Christ, and when he appeared in the upper room, John chapter 20, Verse 21, so Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. We sang that hymn this morning, or chorus that used those words. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. Jesus gave that commission to his disciples. So that's right there at the end of John. And then in the early verses of the book of Acts, this is right before his ascension. We quoted this morning, but in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. Witnesses, and you kind of get the picture, Jerusalem, and then Judea, then Samaria, and then to the remotest parts of the earth. That's God's heart for the whole world. And of course, there are many other passages of Scripture that we could look at as well. But we are just reminded there, just at the end of each of the Gospels and in Acts, God has a heart for all peoples and for all the world. And pray that God would give us that kind of a heart, and that heart for the world would be reflected by, as we've talked about, praying for missions and missionaries, going as God gives opportunity, short-term missions trips or full-time commitment. Who knows what God would speak to some heart here today? Or certainly giving and praying. We can show the heart that God would give to us as well for the world. So thank the Lord for his heart for me and for you, and his heart for all people in all of the world. And may he give us that heart as well. Well, one of the places that God has a heart for is Alaska. So I'm going to, we're going to show some pictures about Alaska. I'm going to stand over here so I can kind of point at the pictures and so on. This is one part of the world that God has a heart for and that he loves. And I can kind of talk with some experience about that because I was there for 15 years. So the Alaska Mission. Get a picture of the size of Alaska. It's a big state. That's Alaska interposed over the United States. The panhandle of Alaska goes clear down into Florida. The Aleutian chain goes clear out to California. The northern part of Alaska would be like in Duluth, Minnesota, and the southern part down into Oklahoma. So it's a very, very big state. I may have told you this when I was here before, but I had a son-in-law who was living in Austin, Texas, and Texans are proud of their state, and everything's bigger in Texas, right? I bought a T-shirt that you can buy in Alaska that has a picture of Alaska on the T-shirt, and then has a picture of Texas inside of it. And the caption on the bottom says, "Isn't Texas cute?" And we love that. You know, in Alaska, you love that T-shirt. Texans don't like it quite so much. But it is a fact that Alaska is 2.5 times bigger than Texas. Texas is a big state, and everybody thinks it's the biggest state. Alaska is 2.5 times the size. Alaskans are fond of saying that if you divided Alaska in two, Texas would become the third largest state in the Union. So, next picture. This is just a picture of Alaska itself. Hopefully you can kind of see the road system. Right in kind of the middle over to the right side is Fairbanks. There's roads that make a big loop that go down to Anchorage and go down to Valdez. But it's that one quarter, the southern eastern quarter of Alaska has some roads. But even there, they're really spread out. There's a lot of mountains in between. The western two-thirds of the state and the northern two-thirds remain roadless. So for a huge state like that, and the vast majority of the state is completely remote and unreachable except by airplane, which is what presents some of the real challenges in meeting the needs of Alaska. Next one. That little arrow that came in there points to the corner of Bristol Bay. So you've got the Pacific Ocean, then you've got the Bering Sea, and then you've got Bristol Bay. And where that arrow came in is right at the very corner of Bristol Bay. That's where Naknek is. Where our mission is kind of centered, where we live for 15 years. The next one. And this is a close-up of Bristol Bay. And you can't really see the names of the towns there because of how far you are away and so on. But right in the very corner is Naknek, South Naknek. This is Bristol Bay. And our radio station, which we'll talk about in a minute, reaches a lot of that area of Bristol Bay. So the radio ministry reaches that. In the summers, we go out and to take vacation Bible school to many of those villages, most of which are unchurched, no church, no pastor. But we've been able the last number of years to send a team of four to do vacation Bible school for 1 week at a time. This summer, we were in eight villages, eight consecutive weeks of VBS. And the neat thing about that is that the needs are so great in rural Alaska. Alcoholism, drug addiction, suicide, immorality and abuse, sexual abuse and other, is just really, really high in all of those villages. So most of the children are growing up in very, very dysfunctional situations. So it's really a blessing to be able to go to those villages and share the love of Christ with those kids and to share the gospel of Christ with those kids as well. I'll read some of the names. It's kind of fun. You get a little taste of the language. Alaska is divided up into five sections. There's the north is the Inupiat people. Those are Eskimos, kind of true Eskimos. The center interior of the state is Athabascans. The west coast is Yupik. That's where what we were familiar with were the Yupik people. And then there's the Tlingits down the panhandle. And there's the Aleuts down the Aleutian chain. And so very distinct people. We're in an area of Yupik. So this, you get a little taste of their language because these are the names of the towns where we had vacation Bible school this summer. Kakanak, Igiagik, Leavelock, Ekwok, Kaliganik, Manakotik, Egigik, Naknek, South Naknek. They like a lot of K's in their words. So, next picture. That's just a little closer up view of Bristol Bay. Alaska is a land of great, beautiful scenery. Here's mountains. You can just go through these relatively quickly. Mountains, rivers. This is an interesting one. If you want to stay there for just a second, this is up in Katmai National Park. That plane is landed on ash. There was a mountain that blew up in 1912, Nova Rupta it was called, and left 20 feet of ash, covered a whole valley. It's hundreds of square miles of nothing but 20 feet deep ash. Astronauts have been sent there to train because it's as close to a moonscape as any place on Earth. So a lot of interesting things, mountains, rivers, valleys like this. Next one. That's looking out onto the bay. Next one. Also, the tundra out in that area where we lived, it looks kind of like a pasture from a distance, but when you look up close like this, you can see there's all kinds of ferns, and one of the little leaves there is Labrador tea, and there's cranberries and blueberries, so it looks like, and they always call it barren tundra, it's anything but barren. It's teeming with life, all kinds of ferns and lichen, as well as berries and so on, so a lot of beautiful scenery, a lot of beautiful wildlife. Here's bears. Next one is a bear catching a fish. And moose. And lots of salmon. This is a couple from our church. The man is in the background. You can go back to that one. The man's in the background and his wife's here kneeling at the net. Just kind of an interesting fact that 30 feet tides twice a day, 30 feet vertical tides. So where they're kneeling and picking fish out of a net, that'll be 20, 25 feet deep with water twice a day. So you put the net out, and then the net floats because it has corks on top and lead line on the bottom and little monofilament, you know, tied together, and it makes little squares. The fish, when the tide comes in, the nets float. The fish swim into the net and get stuck by their gills, so they're called gill nets. But if you don't pick your net quick enough, this will happen. You get way, way too many fish. Those are all 5 to 10-pound sockeye salmon. And we fillet them, bright red, beautiful meat. It's an amazing resource, all the salmon. So it gives you a little picture of fishing in Bristol Bay. Next one. That's kind of a common catch. We would fill our freezers with salmon. It's a free resource, so that was a great blessing. Next one. Along with beauty, the wildlife, the mountains, the rivers, and so on, Alaska is a land of extremes. Extreme weather. This picture was taken in early October, about 6 foot snow drifts in front of our house. So winters are very long and very dark. Extreme weather. Next one. Those are big chunks of ice floating in the river in the wintertime. Next one. So you kind of get the idea of extreme weather. Extreme prices. There's a gallon of milk on the left. It says $9.99. This is an old picture. Milk is now $16.99 a gallon. And there's a bag of apples on the right there. It says $25.99. Those are probably $35 now. So extreme prices. And it is that way because it really costs a lot to get groceries out. It's $1 a pound minimum just for shipping costs to get stuff out to Naknek. So it's very expensive. So extreme prices. Next one. This is a little Russian Orthodox cemetery, kind of in disrepair. But those graves represent kind of the extreme needs of Alaska. We were talking a little bit after lunch, you know, some of the tragic deaths. I look back over the years that we were there, the funerals that I had for teenagers and young adults that succumbed to alcoholism, drug addiction, suicides, just despair. Extreme weather, extreme prices, but extreme needs among the people as well. Next one. In the midst of those extreme needs, there is blessed assurance. I really like this picture. It's a picture of an old wooden boat, not used anymore, but it's always fun to see the names of the boats that, you know, people assign names to their boats, their fishing boats. This is an old boat, and it was called the Blessed Assurance. It was a Christian that owned this boat, but it's not used anymore, but it sits right in the middle of Naknek, and I just always was really, you know, it was a good reminder every time you drive by that you know, when you're dealing with all of the pressing needs of people, and yet in the midst of that, there is blessed assurance. Like we sing, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. That assurance, blessed assurance, is found in Christ. So how do we share Christ with the communities there in Alaska and bring them blessed assurance? The next one. Primarily through the proclamation of God's word. This is the church in Naknek, Hilltop Christian Fellowship. Next one. This is the interior of the church. It's a real nice church. 30, 40 people attend there regularly. A lot of wonderful stories of lives that Christ has reached and changed. So that's the primary way of bringing the gospel to Bristol Bay, is through the preaching of his word in the church. Next one. Youth ministry. Here's some children. My wife's back in the back corner there. Next picture. And then we have a church in South Naknek, which we have to fly to. It's only about a mile away, but with those tides going up and down, and then the river current coming out, and then the tides going in, and the wind blowing from a different direction, they call it like a bathtub effect. So the water is really, really cold. There's lots of rocks and lots of mud flats and very rough, so it's really not entirely safe to go across in a boat. So we fly to South Naknek. This is the little church in South Naknek where we would have services on Sunday afternoon and then also on Thursdays, Bible study. Next one. These are some of the folks there in South Naknek. I'd love to tell you stories about all of them. The guy in the back in the blue sweatshirt, that's the guy I talked about in the sermon this morning, little Ted. He's always kind of interesting. You remember little Ted. His dad's name was Ted. His son's name is Ted. And his grandson's name is Ted. We used to kind of joke with him, you know, you need to up your game here on being creative about names and stuff. But little Ted is the guy that spent a lot of his life on the streets in Anchorage, but came back to South Naknek and started coming to our church and has found Christ and is a real leader in the church there. So that's the ministry of the word in South Naknek. We're gathered around having Bible study there on a Thursday. Next one. That's the inside of the little chapel there in South Naknek. Next one. And then this is the village of Ekwok. Ken, you were there in Ekwok. That's about 50 miles west of Naknek. So when weather permits, we fly there also on Sunday afternoons. Next picture is a picture of the church that we go to, the Ekwok Bible Chapel. And the next one is the inside of that. One little interesting note about that church, they have a wood stove, and sometimes the people forget to light the stove before we get over there. So I have preached in that church at 5 below 0. So if you ever think it's hot in church or cold or whatever, just remember, you know. And I had a funeral in Leavelock one time, and it was 15 below. And that church had no source of heat whatsoever. So by the time that service was over, I couldn't feel my feet, and it was really interesting. So this is in Ekwok. Next picture. So those first pictures there were kind of about the churches in Naknek, South Naknek, Ekwok. That's where we go on a regular basis. We have open doors to other villages as well. But those are the ones where we regularly get to share God's word. Another part of the ministry is radio. So you can see KAKN Radio bringing the gospel to Bristol Bay and surrounding villages. Because it's so remote and hard to reach, and a lot of places don't have regular ministry, a lot of times the weather is bad, so we aren't able to fly to South Naknek or to Ekwok. But the radio is there all the time. And so it's a great part of the ministry. It's 24/7 good gospel preaching and good gospel music. So radio is a really wonderful ministry for unreached villages and areas that are hard to get to. So we're really thankful for KAK and radio. It's kind of fun to know how that started. Have any of you ever heard the program Unshackled? Kind of put out by Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago. There was a missionary back in the 1980s that was there, and Unshackled usually tells the stories of people who've been involved with drugs and alcohol and have a testimony of how Christ has come to them and changed their life. They dramatize those and play those on Unshackled. Well, Pastor Nestergaard was there in the 1980s, and he went. There were no other radio stations in the area, and there still aren't. But there was a public radio station on the AM dial in Dillingham, which is about 30 miles west of us. So Pastor Nestergaard went to them and asked if we could pay them to put Unshackled on the radio, because it would be really practical to deal with the problems that a lot of people were dealing with in Bush, Alaska. And you can imagine what their response was. They want to put this really potent, Christian ministry radio drama on public radio. And they said, no way, we're not going to allow that. And so Pastor Nestergaard said, well, if you won't let us put that on there, we're going to start a radio station and we'll be your competition. And they said, go ahead. And so that's how KAKN started back in 1988. And it's been a great blessing in the area. Next one. That's Bob and Margaret Lee. Bob is an AFLC pastor. He's been there for about 13 years. He's the station manager for our radio station. His wife, Margaret, teaches school in the public school. She's a real witness there. Next picture. There's Bob behind the microphone. One little interesting note about radio, in the summertime, the fishermen can only fish when they are allowed to, because you've got to allow enough salmon to escape up the rivers so that they can get clear back to where they were spawned, so they can spawn and maintain the salmon harvest. It's about a four-year cycle. They spawn, the little fingerlings go back out in the ocean. 4 years later, they come back as big salmon and so on. So the government regulates, the biologists regulate when and how many fish you can catch. And we give those reports on the radio. So it's kind of neat. The fishermen and their boats tune into KAKN to hear fishing reports. And they get to hear, when those reports are like once an hour for 2 or 3 minutes. The rest of the time while they're waiting, they're listening to gospel music and gospel presentations. So next one. That's myself and Bob and Jeremy Kroll, our pilot mechanic. Jeremy is also an AFLC pastor. We would do a live radio program where we would just do a Bible study over the air. Next one. So that's the second part. First of all, I showed those pictures about the churches. That's the primary ministry of the word. Then there's the ministry through the radio station. And then a big part of the ministry is also airplanes, aviation, because to go work on the transmitters in the various communities, the radio transmitters, to take kids to Bible camp, to take the VBS teams out to the villages to do vacation Bible school, everything has to be done by flying. And a number of years ago, a ministry was started in the AFLC called FLAPS, Free Lutheran Airplane Pilots Supporters. And that is just an absolutely indispensable ministry, because we can't go anywhere without flying. And so we have a hangar, we have several airplanes. Jeremy Kroll has overseen that for several years. So aviation is really a wonderful ministry. You can, as you think about things to pray for safety in flying. The weather is pretty extreme in Bristol Bay. And so flying safely is really important. Our congressman from Alaska, her husband was just killed this week in a small plane crash. I could list so many people I know over the years we were there that died in small plane crashes. We have a perfect safety record with our ministry, and we're just very, very thankful for that. So next picture, just a couple more pictures about the aviation side of things. Something else to pray for. This is Jeremy Kroll and his wife Lacey and their son Malachi. Today is actually the last Sunday for Jeremy in Naknek. He's moving down to Arlington, Washington, and taking over or being involved with a ministry that his dad started called MATA, Missionary Aviation Training Academy. And Jeremy will be training pilots and discipling pilots that will be sent out all over the world to do aviation ministry. But it really leaves us extremely shorthanded. We moved after I was diagnosed with Parkinson's and some other reasons we left Alaska. But Jeremy has been doing a lot of the preaching and teaching since we left, and now he's leaving. Bob, our radio station manager, preaches as well, but he's dealing with long-term COVID, and his health is not really, really great right now. So we are in great need of personnel in Alaska. So please pray for that. Pray for that need. But really appreciate the ministry of Jeremy and Lacey over the years there in Alaska. Next one. We haul a little bit of everything, lawnmowers. Probably the craziest thing we ever hauled was with the airplanes right probably the year before we left. We got a call from a state trooper. Somebody had poached a moose, and they wanted the moose out of the village because they didn't want people to profit in the village from somebody in their village poaching. They're all related, and so, you know, there could be some not so good motives there or whatever. So the troopers said, we got to get that moose out of the village, but distribute it somewhere where it'll do good use. Could you take it to the village of South Naknek? So Jeremy and I flew down and picked up a moose and put it in the airplane and flew it to South Naknek. That was a very smelly and bloody flight, but worked. So aviation is really important. Next one. This is inside of the hangar, a couple of our airplanes. Next one. Next one. This is an airplane. This is a really good picture because it's right outside of that lodge in the behind there. That's Tenalian Bible Camp. That's about 2 hours north of Naknek. But it's a wonderful Bible camp, largely funded by Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's son. And summertime camping ministry, year-round ministry to post-high school students that need a transition from village life outside. And so we're really thankful to be involved with Tenalian Bible Camp. And that plane will go back and forth a couple times a week, taking kids to and from Bible camp. And I wish you could just know the blessing that that is for those children growing up in such dysfunctional situations, to be able to spend a week at a Bible camp, being loved, well-fed, really wholesome activities, Bible studies. It's just really a wonderful blessing. So thankful for Tenalian Bible Camp and that we can be involved with helping transport kids there. Next one. Another aspect of ministry, so it's churches, radio, aviation. This is the NET. Maybe you've heard of that before. It's a Christian coffee house that we began. When we moved to Alaska, we noticed in the summertime, little town of Naknek goes from 500 people to 15,000 people for a couple of months. All the cannery workers and all the fishermen, the cannery workers are literally from all over the world. We were up in Naknek this summer. And I was at the NET pouring coffee and handing out free cookies and sitting and talking with people. And on one day, I visited with people from 8 different countries. Ukraine, Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic, Macedonia. I didn't even know Macedonia was a country. And there were just people from all over, not to mention many states in the Union. And the cannery workers, when they're not working, have nothing to do, so they just walk the street. Not streets, because there's only one street. But they just walked the street, and we noticed when we moved there, here's people from all over the world right here. And we prayed about opening a coffee house, and we were able to do that. And now we've, you know, this summer, thousands of people literally went through the NET and received a free cup of coffee and free cookies and free internet and then Bibles and tracts if they want them and a chance to sit and visit with people. I'll tell you a quick story about the NET this summer. There was a young man, he was from Mexicali, right on the border of California and Mexico. His name was John Paul. We were sitting around the table drinking coffee. He was just a young kid, about 19 years old. He had some time off from the cannery. And there was a guy at the other end of the table sharing about how he had become a Christian. He was from Nicaragua. And he was sharing about how he had become a Christian. And this young man, John Paul, he turned to me and he said, "I want what he has." And he went on to tell me about his own struggles with drugs. And he was really concerned about going back home and getting involved in that lifestyle again. He was concerned about his influence on his younger brother. And he prayed there that afternoon to receive Christ and put his trust in Christ, as near as I know. The thing that was really a blessing about visiting with John Paul there around the table when he knelt, not knelt, but when he bowed his head to pray, and we had a Bible between us and we were looking at verses, when he bowed his head over that Bible, there was just tears dripping on that Bible. I just kind of wanted to keep the Bible because there were big splotches of tears on that Bible. It just seemed that God really was touching his heart. He wanted so desperately to have a different life and to be a good influence for his brother. That's exactly what we hoped for, kind of prayed for the net, that people would come, you know, to connect with their families through the internet, to have a good experience of just having a cup of coffee. You know, it's raining and cold, 45 degrees in a July afternoon, and just to be able to go there and have a cup of coffee and some cookies, and just to sit down and engage them in conversation. And God has really opened that door for us. We're really thankful. That's about a two-month ministry in the summertime. And by the way, that's an opportunity for you. We'd love to have volunteers come. And you might think, well, I'm kind of shy. I have a hard time talking to people about the Lord or whatever. You know, at the net, all you have to do is go in the kitchen and just bake cookies. Just bake cookies and make coffee. And people will come in and thank you, and conversations start up. And if you want a break, you go sit down at the table, and some gal wanders in from Los Angeles or whatever and sits there, and you just strike up a conversation. There have been so many instances of people from Illinois or North Dakota or Missouri, little farm wives who bake cookies and who have developed relationship friendships with people they never would have dreamed they'd have a relationship with. Somebody from Poland. And that's an opportunity in the summer to come as a volunteer for a week or 10 days and bake cookies. Who would have thought that'd be a part of, you know, sharing the love of Christ, just baking cookies and pouring coffee. But great opportunities there at the net. So next picture. This is how that started. We offered free ice cream cones in the parking lot of the grocery store. That's my wife and then one of the ladies from our church and our daughter, Hannah, there. This was before the net ever started. We just offered, we put a sign up, and you can see the sign said free ice cream and more. And people would come over, and everybody wants a free ice cream cone. And they would say, what's the more? And we would say, well, we have a Bible for you, and we'd like to talk to you about Jesus. And that developed into a place, the net, where people can come in out of the weather. And it's been a great opportunity to reach a lot of people from all over the world. And it still amazes me that in such a remote corner of the world, on the west coast of Alaska, here comes the world. People from all over the world to Naknek, and we've had a chance to share the love of Christ with them. So that's been a good outreach. Next picture. I think that's just some Bibles in different languages. A lot of Filipinos, a lot of Spanish Bibles, a lot of Tagalog Bibles, a lot of Russian Bibles that we've given out in tracts and so on. Next one. A part of what we do there too is quilts. Seems like most of the people that come to Alaska to work in the canneries are from southern climates or from hot climates. So when it's a high of 55 degrees and it's raining, they are freezing to death. And so quilts and used clothing, especially hooded sweatshirts, are just a great blessing to people and really opens the door of their heart to receive such a gift. And you guys have sent a lot of those quilts up there as well as many other churches in the AFLC. So we're really thankful for that. Next picture. Here's a whole group of people from Mongolia. You know, I remember taking this picture and thinking, Naknek, Alaska, and here's a group from Mongolia sitting around working on a puzzle. Kind of weird how God works. Next one. That's the net. Next one. One other aspect of ministry has been Vacation Bible School. This gal is Heather Hansen. Heather went to our Bible school. She came up on a VBS team about 6 years ago. And she fell in love with the kids of Alaska, and she actually has moved back and lives now full-time in Naknek, and she's kind of headed up our VBS team. So she's our kind of the youth worker, children's ministry director, and leader of our VBS program in the summer. So next picture. This was a VBS team from a year or two ago. Heather Hansen, and then a gal from Valley City, North Dakota, Katie Meester. Joe, you'd remember, you know the Meesters, right?
Yes.
You did your internship there in Valley City. And then the other guy, he's a pastor now in the Lutheran Brethren, actually. Carl Jewell and Emily Jewell, her dad is an AFLC pastor. So this was the team, and we fly them out to a village and on Monday morning, and then we go pick them up on Friday night. And some of the villages, they have really good housing. Some of them, they sleep on the floor in those little chapels like you saw and have an outhouse, and they have to carry their water and figure out how to cook and so on. So it's quite an adventure. But we've been in 9 different villages through the years doing a week of vacation Bible school. And again, it's just such a great opportunity to share the Word of God and the love of Christ with children who really are hungry for that. So we're really thankful for the VBS opportunities in the summers. Next one. These are just some pictures of what a vacation Bible school looks like. This was in the village of Kaliganik. Get a little flavor of the kids that are there. Next one. Doing crafts like any vacation Bible school. Next one. Some of those smiling kids. Next one. Just pictures of vacation Bible schools. Simple little pictures, but they really represent a very significant thing in the lives of some of these kids. In fact, this summer, that one picture of the team there, Katie Meester, she shared with us, she let us take a copy of her journal that she was keeping. She was in the village of Ekwok and talking about the gift of salvation that God offers. And a little girl raised her hand this summer and said, "I'd really like to have that gift. How do you do that?" And so she talked with them very clearly about the gospel, asked them to bow their head if they believed in Jesus and to pray that Christ would come into their life. And all the kids wanted to do that. And the rest of the week, that was early in the week, and the rest of the week, some of those kids would come back and say, "What about my mom and dad? You know, could they become Christians too? Could they go to heaven?" And they just had a powerful week in Ekwok. And I think that was published in the Ambassador, Katie's journal. But really some significant things happening in the children's lives in those villages. So next one. That's a couple that was there working with Vacation Bible School as well. They're from Arlington, Washington. Next picture. Just about done. If you're getting tired, hard to sit after eating a big meal like that. But back one picture. This is just kind of captures to me the goal of Vacation Bible School and children's ministry. We give out Bibles to all the kids in the villages that we go to. This is a really neat picture Bible this little boy received. Wouldn't you just love it if every kid could grasp the Bible like that? You know, it's kind of symbolic in a way of just loving God's Word and gladly receiving God's Word and clinging tight to God's Word. That's the goal of the ministry there with the children. So really thankful for that picture and what it represents. Next one. Josh Fish is a graduate of our Bible school. He came up to Alaska about 2 summers ago, and he's our head maintenance man. God kind of knew things ahead of time because he's a really good pilot. And so for the last year, Jeremy's been turning over all the pilot duties to him. And so he came as a maintenance man, but now with Jeremy leaving, we're relying totally on Josh to be our pilot. And he does a great job. So he's a maintenance man, he's a pilot, and he also leads Bible studies. So pray for Josh Fish. We're really thankful for him. Next one. I think there's several pictures of Josh. You can go through those pretty quick. Here's a little boy with a craft that he made. If you can read, that's Jesus. Just also represents taking Jesus to the children in the villages. Next one. That's the last picture. So that's the house that we lived in for those 15 years. It's the parsonage for the church there. But my daughter had taken this picture off the roof, from the roof of the garage, looking over the house and, of course, the rainbow there. And it just reminds me of the promise of God. Of course, the rainbow represents God's promise to the world and God's promises of salvation, of His presence, of His love for us. It is true for Naknek, Alaska, far as out as that is and as remote as that is. And it's true for here. It's true for everywhere in the world, wherever we have missionaries, world missions, home missions, be it Brazil, be it India, be it Uganda in Africa and other places where world missions is involved, or the various home mission works as well. It doesn't matter where you're at. God is there. God is at work. And God's promises are good and true and needed in all of those areas as well. And it's our privilege to be a part of taking that good news of God's promise of love and salvation for any who will believe. And as you meet here for a missions fest, that's what we're talking about. We all get to be involved in taking God's promise to all of the world. So through praying, through giving, through going, we can be a part of what God's doing all around the world. So, any questions? If you have some questions about some of the pictures that we showed or anything else? Or have you all fallen asleep after that good potluck meal?
Does anybody have a dairy farm up there?
Not in Naknek. There used to be a dairy farm in the Mat-Su Valley. North of Anchorage, you've got Palmer and Wasilla. And in that area, that's where, if you've ever seen like the Alaska State Fair, because of the long days, they have like 20 hours of sunlight. They can grow huge pumpkins and huge cabbage and so on. It's really a thriving agricultural area in just a small area. It's called the Mat-Su Valley. And there used to be a big dairy there. And I don't think it's there anymore. So they import all of the milk because the climate just is not real conducive for livestock in Alaska, period. So I don't know of any big dairies. Certainly not out in Bristol Bay. The farmers sold out and went to Hawaii? Yeah. Perhaps. Any other questions or comments?
Tell them about your transportation getting to Naknek. You got a superhighway that runs all the way into Naknek.
Well, there is the only highway in rural Alaska, yeah, from Anchorage, you fly to King Salmon, which is an old Air Force base, not manned anymore. And then there's a highway from King Salmon down to Naknek. It's about 12 miles. That's the only 12 miles of highway in Bush, Alaska. So that's, if you fly up there like Warren and when Warren and Ken flew in, we drove up to King Salmon and picked him up and drove 12 miles on a highway. It was quite a wonderful experience. A lot of unique things in Alaska. In Naknek, particular. So. Well, thanks again for allowing me to come and share a little bit about Alaska and share God's word today and to be a part of your mission fest. Thank you as a congregation for your very generous support of missions, home missions, world missions in the AFLC. We were privileged to be down in Brazil, Jane and I. We kind of have a reason to go to Brazil to see our daughter and our six grandchildren, five last winter, but they had one more. But, you know, it's just exciting to see. We visited a number of the churches in Brazil last February as well, because it's where one of our children and grandchildren, where they live. But just seeing what God is doing in places like Brazil and knowing what God is doing in home missions churches and in Alaska, hearing Nate Jory and his wife at the annual conference talking about their ministry in Uganda. You know, God has got a heart for the whole world. And God is doing all kinds of things in the world. I think we'd be amazed if we knew the hospitals, the orphanages, the rescue missions, the churches that are being planted all around the world. God is doing great things. And we can get overwhelmed with the discouraging news of the world and a lot of the bad news in the world. But God is still building his church. Jesus said, I will build my church. And he is. And I wish we could get a better glimpse of what God is doing. I mean, here's a little snapshot of what God is doing in a tiny little corner of Alaska. But God is working through a lot of people in a lot of places all around the world. And it's exciting what God is doing. And the fact that we get to be a part of that, even through a mission fest like this, that's a great thing. So praise God for his heart for the world. And may we have a heart for his world as well. Amen. Is there a question? Joe?
If anyone here were to want to get involved or like go to Alaska or whatever, what would the process be like for that?
Talk to me.
Talk to you.
Yeah, I coordinate the volunteers and the schedules for the summertime as the Alaska Mission Coordinator. So if you would like to go, we have various needs for work projects, you know, manual labor type stuff, but especially at the net to volunteer there and be involved with, you know, baking and just interacting with people. That's mostly in the summer from about mid-June to about August. That's the prime time for when all the fish are being processed and the cannery workers are there. And so that's when the net is mainly open to reach those people that come from all over the world. If you'd like to come and be a part of that, just talk to me. We can start talking about that possibility and scheduling and so on. Love to have you be a part of that. Also, I put a table up out here, and you can see some pictures and some books that tell you about things that have gone on there this past summer in the past. There's also a place to sign up so you can receive regular kind of updates on what things need to be prayed for in Alaska and what things are happening. You can receive a newsletter there. So if you want to sign up for that, we'd encourage you to do that as well. If there's no other questions, I'll close in prayer. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here at St. John's today. Thank you for the blessing of worshiping together and hearing your word together this morning, enjoying fellowship around a delicious meal this afternoon, and then being able to share a little bit about what you're doing in the world. We thank you again, God, for your heart for the world and how you so clearly demonstrated your heart for the world. A lot of people talk about love and write songs and movies and things about love, but I love that the scripture says God demonstrates his love and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I thank you, God, that you demonstrated your love in sending Jesus for every one of us and for every person in all the world. And so we praise you for your demonstration of love in Christ and the cross and the empty tomb. And we praise you for your heart for the world. And just give us a little more of that heart, I pray. And bless the works of missions in the AFLC and worldwide in other ministries as well. But we just specifically pray you'd continue to bless those missionaries that are serving you in Brazil and in Africa and in India and then also in Alaska as well. And in home mission churches as well. We pray that you'd provide for their every need. You would grant them joy, perseverance in the work, and that you would give them fruitfulness and every need be met and lives would be touched through the gospel of Jesus. So we commit all of these things to you in Jesus' name with thankful hearts today. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Is that the end, Joe?
Yeah, that's
it. Well, thanks for coming.
As a note, we are still, throughout the time of live stream, going to take offering for AFLC missions, both home and world, and we will have